You and I are telling you to eat vegetables is a sin.
Yes.
Isn't it?
What, to eat vegetables is a sin?
I tell you, I said reading is a sin. That I'm going further more than that.
Yes.
Why? Just having patience with it.
What is sin?
I tell you. Sin which stands in the way to us, the realization of God, that is a sin. There are least sin and there are grosser sins. For instance, you kill a man, your hand. You kill an animal. You are simply fined because then nobody is going to be hanged for that. You kill birds and insects, nobody cares for you. See? So why you find in the elements, in the lowest vegetable there is one element, fully dwelt. Four are latent. In insects there are two elements dwelt and the others are latent. In birds there are three elements fully dwelt and two are latent. In animals there are four elements fully dwelt and one is latent. In man is all elements are fully dwelt. So it is comparative, you see. What the Master say? Live on the least thing, vegetables, you see, or grains, and become conscious co-worker of the divine plan. Only then you can be absolved, you see. That is one view. The other thing you were just telling, what is that?
Yes, must you become a celibate?
Yes.
You must abstain.
I tell you. Well, it is said, life of continence is required. We must have continence, type of continence. That's the control over all senses.
Whether you're married or not.
Yes, both.
Both. I mean, right. If you're married, then you must abstain.
I'm going for the habitations here. I'm going for the, you're right. Well, look here. Those who are not married, they should be strictly celibate. One thing. Those who are married, what they should do? They should live up to what the scriptures say. What scriptures say? They say, married life is no bar to spirituality if conducted according to the scriptures. And what do the scriptures say about marriage? They say, marriage is not a contract but a sacrament. See? It is God who unites. Let God disunite. It is taking a companion in life, you see, in wheel or row, on this earthly sojourn, to help each other to know God. That's the highest aim before a man. One duty is of begetting children, maybe. Not 100% duty, you see. And they went so far, Christ said, husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. So this is one part of the show, not everything, you see. But if you've given up to sensuous enjoyment daily, this and that is not a healthy question. So normal life, life of continence, as described by the scriptures, is very much required. Because, you see, this power is very much, you see, power that is basic of your physical body, your brain, your heart, everything, prolongs life, those who are celibate. But it's a very valuable thing, you see. It is how it is made. They say, from child, what you eat becomes child. From child is produced what is called blood. 40 drops of butter gives you 1 drop of blood. This is something, calculation they have made. And 40 drops of blood gives you fat. So fat comes the bones, muscles and bones. And from bones further it goes into the pit in the bones, you see. And from that this is the lost reserve which comes up. It's a very valuable thing, you see. You must keep, you feel very bad, you see. The more you keep it, the more you are given up, the following day you feel very not happy, you see. Your spirits are down. So that way of married life is no matter for eternity. This I have given the scripture, all scriptures say. Maybe one or two masters who were not married, the majority of them were married, but they are not like as we are given up to all outward enjoyments. That's one part of the show.
But did not Jesus say that the true marriage is made in heaven?
Of the soul.
If? of such a thing as soulmate.
Beg what?
Soulmate.
Soulmate.
Spiritual soulmate, yes.
Yes, that's right. We should, that is the ideal goal, that there be two bodies and one soul. That's it. True ideal of a marriage. There's not one dragging that way, the other dragging that way, and there is divorce courts there and this are open. Not that. Master says so, you see.
Wouldn't that be the mystical marriage, or the groom taking all?
Look here. Look.
The groom, the one...
Well, look here. This is physical contest brought about by reactions upon what we have shown ourselves. Some are children, some are wives, some are husbands. These are reactions of the past. Why not everybody like that? So that you would pay off very gladly what we have done, you see. And about the soul, soul has to unite with God. That's the mystical life. Marriage. That's how the soul body is in here. Yes, please.
What happens when he gets initiation just before death?
Yes.
At that time, to work off the necessary karma, does that soul have to come back at another reincarnation or remain on the actual plane?
I tell you. Well, you see, that depends on the initiate. If when initiate is, he has got full faith in the master, he has resigned everything to him. This is such a case we do see, rare of course. You have faith on that, in that case, you see, or his faith is become so strong that that nullifies our reactions here, that master does not return to the physical body. If he has done something as a faith in the master, he is not returned. If he has done nothing, you are taken and not. Even then, the soul is cared for, but that cannot go below the man body, because in man body only that seed can grow. This is the concession. If man has done less, not fully, and his desires have been satisfied, if all his desires remain one or two like that, those are also satisfied before leaving. They are placed in the higher planes according to their capacity, and they proceed from further on, not to return. So this is those who have been initiated at least beyond the capacity of coming into body again, man body, not go below. Those have done something and got faith in the master, love for the master, other things are satisfied even before that, in one way or the other. And such souls are placed in the planes to which they are fit. But for that, that is why in Jain we must develop in man body as much as we can. Because in man body we can do things in months but we can do in years later on. The sooner we do, the better. So initiation is a blessing because soul is cared for, you see. Those who have done advanced fully, they go straight up to the first plane, fifth plane, and third plane as they advance. This is about those who have not done anything and done little for them. Yes, sir.
There is no one, I mean, on that same day as you were just talking about, then there is no one of us without karma. We always have karma.
Eternally, surely?
Always.
Yes.
There's no one that is, say, karma, without karma.
Every day we think that is a karma.
Yes.
The very thought is a karma.
Thought is a karma.
Yes, as I told you. Yes, sir.
The block is the five physical senses.
Big one, yes.
The block is the five physical senses.
Yes.
When you recognize that you don't belong to the Lord of the world anymore and you rise, you try to develop to the other senses. Yes. However, Master, this recreation of the spirit makes us completely anew, and are we then heir to karma, even then?
When you are put on the way, you come in contact with the God in creation power, with the light and sound. The more you come in contact with that, the more you become desireless, selfless.
Yes.
That is why you escape reactions.
But then, in our meditation, bringing in the audible life current,
yes,
the music of the spirit,
yes,
the greatest thing in the world,
yes,
is not all music, vibration, music and color, it's all one light.
Surely.
Are we not light? Are we not in those feelings?
The whole world is vibration. See? When there is more vibration, first they say God made world and there was light. And from light proceeds the sound. There are also vibrations. We are in light, but our light is invalid by, as I told you. There then you will find that light and sound is still and is reverberating throughout all creation without closing your ears and without closing your eyes.
One with him, and this is why all these revelations have, is it not?
Revelations when you rise above body consciousness, and they grow more and more as you progress. You see, be still, physically and intellectually, and know that you are God.
But then the responsibility of living it, of taking dominion,
yes,
of acting God, not being, just becoming God, but acting it.
First we have to be the lover of God. Love, you see, is one that unites soul, blends the, what is a mystical marriage, becomes one, later, ultimately. Yes, please.
Is there a possibility for any person while living on this earth,
yes,
to become a master?
Yes, I tell you. Last time when I came to the United States, the two children were put on the way. You see, they're small, 6, 7 years old. I asked them what we want. They said, we want to become masters. Alright. I told them, you have been put on the way, you develop further, you may be selected as a master. It is God who selects master, not the votes of the public, you see. When he sees fit anybody, and some come as fit already, one principle is transferred from one college to another. Some are dwelled in their own college, and they dwell there, made professors and that. Principle. So there is possibility. Each man is in the make. Each man has his own background. Some are more ready, others are less. It sometimes happens too. Man is in make. He has dwelt already sufficiently. Well, he can be selected as a master. Nothing against. Every saint has his past and every sinner his future.
So many are fools. And you have chosen.
Yes, those who have given initiation. Many hear these things, they have no desire for that. Out of this, in any town, there are millions of people living, but how many come up for this thing? Very few. Because of God, it's God's grace only that works.
Finally, how can we know we're ready to take that trip to Nirvana?
Beg what? No. I see. Wait.
When will we know we're ripe enough that we have...
Oh, that's all right. Yes. This question was put up. I tell you. I reply to your question, please. Last time, I was just called before a television, you see, invited there. Some people, some heads of other religions, because they have a reputation like that everywhere, they wanted to just fail me in the presence of all those who hear the television. They called me, I never knew about that. There is one being in charge of it, I mean, chief editor of a paper. The other was a bishop. The third was a Jew head. Fourth was the IMF TVT. And fifth was one more. So 4 or 5 heads of different religions were there. When I did that, they are standing, you know, what's wrong? All right, we are from to see you. All right, thank you. Would you mind if we ask any questions? Most welcome. We'll tell you you are going on. We sat around the table. All right, tell me please. They put questions. So all right, you put your question, whatever you had. They put questions. Then I replied. Then further I told you if anything further, they put a further question, they were also replied. Later on, there were round table conference, you see. Underneath one was just asking that you put some questions, they were just racking their head to put more questions. But anyhow, last of all, it lasted about 1 hour, this whole thing, the television. Last of all, the bishop asked me, how do we know that we have the alive God, the very question you said. You see? Then I told him, if you've got pain in your stomach, how do you know that you've got pain in your stomach? You see? There's nothing outside to show you. Each man his own witness, testimony. You understand? You see God everywhere. There's no place where God is not. Everybody is within you and you are in everybody. All froth and foam is over the sea and there is still water underneath. You dip in there. These are some examples to show. But how do we know that we know ourselves when we get pain in the stomach? They kept quiet and they said, thank you, you are right. And that television went out everywhere. That person took more name before the people. So this man knows himself best, you see. Others cannot get properly.
Master, when I say to my family, you yes. would be pleased to sacrifice. They yes. say yes. We love you, we'll listen.
Right.
And every time they have another excuse. Which really is a good excuse. Is it my fault or is it because the Master isn't calling them to come?
Well, they're not ready yet. There's no hunger. You see, there's food for the hungry. Water for the thirsty, they will never come up unless God's grace. It is God's grace. By God's grace alone, man can come on the way, not others. So they are not ready yet, that's all. By inducement, love them. This is not your fault, rest assured. Yes, please.
I have a question, sir.
Yes, please.
Judging by the outcome of this meeting and what people have been talking about, it seems to me that most people are more concerned about sins, their personal sins,
yes,
or crimes against God and fellow man. Now, some people are older than others here, and they have sowed more wild oats than others. They have sowed more wild oats than others. I ask you this question.
Yes.
Most people here are concerned about the burden of sin.
What is sin?
Or karma, what he calls
karma. I will explain. What is sin? What you mean to say?
Yes. Oh, the question I want to ask, sir, reverently, is: does God grant any dispensation of grace to those of us who have been guilty of gross crimes,
yeah,
such as myself? I have killed hundreds of men.
Yeah.
Now, according to the laws of God, the Lord says, thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
Men are put in a position and forced to kill. Is there any dispensation of grace that God extends to people who have sinned and they have become aware of their sin and they are sorry for their sin and they're trying to find God's favor in forgiving this sin? Now, is there any way that a man can be assured that his karma has been wiped out?
Yes, I guess so. There is law of judgment and there is law of grace. Both are there. If a lamp is burning, you see, always there is darkness underneath. If a bulb is burning, there is darkness above. Both are the laws of nature. There is law of judgment and there is law of grace. So law of judgment is what you say, nail for a nail and tooth for a tooth. Then nobody escapes. The law of grace, which is dwelt by how I tell you. When you become conscious, beloved of God, the God in man is, because it is God alone who can give that contact with Him. He comes across by some person at whose home God is manifest. He follows Him, repents for His past actions. He takes Him under His care. Don't you remember the case of Christ when one lady came up, lady of the woman of the town? He entered there, you see. He washed his feet, the hair, cleansed the hair. And the Simon over there, he thought, would have stained such like master up there. He was a bitch as he became. Why has he got any cognizance with this lady here, with the woman of the town? Then Christ, because they read the heart of others, he said, well, Simon, look here. And yes. Do you know if a man or somebody 50 talents, the other 500, and the man who has to take him for this boat, to whom he has done more favor? And he thought perhaps he is a very overactive master. He wants to conceal his sin. Because each man thinks from his own level, you see. He said, yes, those whom we have forgiven 500. Then he said, look here, I came to your house. You did not welcome me, you did not wash my feet. You did not offer me anything. He has come wept with a tear, he has washed my feet, this and that. He says, well, I forgive thee, you for thou lost much. The law of grace too, you see. Because if you repent, fall down at the feet of God in man. It is God, you see. Well, if God can create world, in that case your reactions are nullified. If, as I told you just now, who is there to forgive sins? Only God. God can forgive sins. Is it not? God can. But the point is, in whatever plane we are working, we have to abide by those laws. When we rise above and become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, with all reactions, as I told you, the karmas are wound up. So there is law of grace too, if we are meek. Both are laws. Laws of judgment also. Then no, you see, I tell you. So you see, there is hen before and an egg. Is there any way out? No? There is seed before and a tree. So there is no way out, you see. When you become rise above these levels of thinking, you see, physical as to cause, you see, become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, well, all seeds are burnt away and cannot grow. That's how it stands. If a father, suppose your son is there, he has fought with somebody, would you like to send him to the police? You slap him once to your own self, but you won't let him go to the police. Internally, you see, there's something like that. So love is the greatest law. Love knows what? Keep my commandments. So they don't interfere generally like that, but those who are just surrender everything to Him, that's everything. As I told you, both have the law. Love judgment is there and love grace is there too.
But pardon me, a master can take away 4/5 of your karma when you become initiated, and then you're off the wheel.
I tell you how the taste of the karma, you see.
Yeah.
Love simply is there. That's another thing. But at the time of initiation, what the master does, as I explained to you before, future lays down a certain line of conduct. Present reactions, what they are improved, they don't touch it. They give back life to the soul. They become strong. Pinching effect is gone. And when they give a contact with him, the light, the sound, etc., they become conscious kuvarkara of the divine parent. All previous karmas are burned up. This is how. His greatness lies in the fact we cannot rise above body consciousness. With little thought of his, you see, he raises his soul maybe 10, 20, 100 sometimes. All rise up and sit, give contact with God. That soul which is bent down, you see, under the burden of karma, that is raised. I think that costs him nothing. See, for motion, thousands of animals are other drink water, but will it be? I mean, diminished, no? So he's bearing the souls, that is bearing the souls of God, the God in him. Out of Shanti, love, Shanti is there, then you contact. But if that power is not there, how can you see the light of God?
Master, with patients dying under a surgeon's knife, and as the surgeon gets older and more experienced, he looks back and finds that he made mistakes. Now, because he's got to get practice and learn, and he tries his best. Have those doctors made bad karma for themselves, or is this the same?
I don't know. As I told you, even breathing is when I explained to you. He has learned to see this anatomy, which you want to mean if I understood correctly.
Yes.
They apply anatomy on dead bodies. You see? When the soul is gone. On that to learn how to analyze how to anatomy by surgery, etc. First of all, they apply on dead bodies. In the hospital, you find like that.
Mm-hmm.
And further, sometimes they have to kill little insects, some frogs, and this and that thing. That is a sin, but that sin is being committed to save higher lives. You see? Higher life a match. So that is sin, but there is no absolving, you see? Unless you become conscious worker of the divine plan, as I told you. But that is for something higher, you have to do something lower. That goes but for no selfish motive, but just to help other humanity to be fit physically. So that man body, which is considered to be the highest in all creation, you see, that should be maintained and he should know how to know God from that purpose.
Does prayer have any effect on karma?
Surely. Prayer which is which comes out of the heart, not set forms of prayer, I tell you. We are simply reverberated, you see, by lips, has no connection with the heart. The prayer which comes out of the heart, you see, heart becomes full of life and tears roll down from the eyes. That's the sign. Such like prayer in heart. That nullifies, reacts, counteracts. But how strong it is, that you find. Everybody's prayer is not heard, because it does not go out from the heart. Simply professional sake, like only, oh God, lips have to do nothing, heart has nothing to do with it. Then such like prayer does not help.
Mm-hmm.
And prayer helps very wonderfully. Where all human efforts fail, there the prayer succeeds. But that prayer before should be before a competent person, in whose competency you have got faith. It is from a weaker man praying before a strong man. So if you perhaps you have read in the Bible, it is comes there. Christ said somewhere, well look here, if you pray God, He may give you or not give you. If you pray God in my name, He may give you. But if you pray to me, you surely have it. What is the difference between these three statements, you see? Because if you pray to God, we are not fully settled, there is a God. You simply say something with no motive or no ideal before you. You say to pray God in my name, that is also not very strong faith. We are dependent to something else. But if you see the God in Him, that must be given to you. That is the thing. Well, what is your problem? Yes?
What can I do to get away from me now. All that bad thinking, whatever. Can't seem to concentrate.
You see, there's a way when you come to a master, he gives way for that. Two ways. One, by self-introspection, keep a diary. The other, he gives a contact within. You see? Both things together help to make a man, even a robber to be saved. Then hope. And I told you, every saint has his past and every sinner's future.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the last half of a question and answer session called Initiation is Like a Lesson, given by Master on January 1st, 1964. Our reader this evening is Sheila Gilmore. Hello, Sheila.
Good evening, and happy almost Thanksgiving for those in the United States. I have been reading The Night is a Jungle, and I will start Chapter 10 in just a few minutes. I wanted to start with a letter from Master to an initiated couple. It's on the Ruhani Satsang USA website. It's called The Way of Love, and it was dated May 4th, 1965. Dear ones, you have been all along on my mind, and your sweet remembrances have always been fresh by the presence of dear blank. I send you my loving message. Human body is a precious asset granted to you all. It is the highest rung in God's creation. The highest object of this earth life in human form is to realize our own selves and then realize God. It is such a noble task, which can only be accomplished in the human body. Soul is a conscious entity, a drop of the ocean of all consciousness, and in its miniature capacity carries all the divine attributes of Godhead. Since it is environed by mind and matter, it has lost its heritage and forgotten its origin, the true home of the Father. The Masters come to our help to awaken us from this long slumber of ignorance. All the past masters, including Christ, have been stressing the importance of this inner development of soul. An unbiased study of scriptures will reveal to you that the masters have been coming to this earth planet in all ages for the guidance and deliverance of child humanity. Those dear ones who were privileged to sit at their holy feet enjoyed the rare bliss of inner communion with them. The imperative necessity of such a master soul is still felt by such loving souls who yearn to meet him during their lifetime. The eternal law of demand and supply continues working for all time. So it is under divine dispensation that a living master comes for rendering feasible assistance and guidance for such ready souls. It is in accordance with the execution of the divine plan that I have been assigned this noble task of assisting all dear ones in the fulfillment of their cherished goals. I would love to assist them in this respect. It is the divine grace of my master that whosoever had the good fortune of seeking inner life has been blessed with the conscious contact of the holy Nam within. The holy initiation into the mysteries of the beyond is a unique start for further development. Most of you have been blessed with this rare gift of heavenly nature with the grace of the Master. Now it is up to you to develop it from day to day by regular, faithful, and accurate meditations. I'm glad that most of you have been devoting regular time for your holy meditations and enjoying inner bliss and harmony. I wish you more of success in your ventures. I would stress the importance of self-introspection, for which the maintenance of the diary has been prescribed. A keen vigil and careful living is an essential helping factor for inner progress. A disciplined life by having complete control over the senses, which feed the mind, which in turn overpowers the soul, should be cherished. The inner divine links of light and sound are most helpful for controlling the senses. If you will follow these divine principles, the inner change of life will follow automatically. Truth is above all, but higher still is true living. You should love one another so that others may see and know for themselves that you belong to the Master. God is love, and love is God. The way back to God is also through love. You should always remember this divine principle that love begets love. The Father is always pleased to see the loving children laying their heads together for the common holy cause of the Master. When two lovers of the Master meet, they grow in loving devotion and right understanding. Satsang is a great helping factor for spiritual progress. It is the divine grace of the Master which radiates in such holy congregations where the dear ones get together for imbibing the sacred teachings. I would say that it is an arena where spiritual stalwarts are built. The loving life impulses are radiated in great abundance by the gracious Master power in these gatherings. You can derive immense spiritual benefit by getting together in His name. My heart goes out to all you dear ones. You see, distance is no barrier for the Master power, and anywhere the yearning souls would pray for His guidance, He would materialize and bless you through and through. Time and tide wait for no man. Make hay while the sun shines. You should always high on your holy path, irrespective of worldly gains or losses. You will appreciate that after all, everything is to be left behind at the final hour of death, and only the holy Nam will accompany us into the beyond. You know very well the supreme importance of regular meditations. The more you are developed while living here, the more of the inner journey is covered in the beyond. Know it for certain that you are here in this mortal world only for enjoying the rare bliss of holy Nam, God and Master, first, all else secondary. It is the bread of life which must be partaken regularly so that your souls may become strong enough to pass through the vicissitudes of physical life. Love is the panacea for all ills. Please give up all remorse and resentment and live cheerfully. You should remember that nothing binds the human soul more than drooping spirits of morbidity. Always keep cheerful, resigning yourselves to the will and pleasure of the Master. You should know it for certain that you are under the gracious protection of the Master power, and He is ever with you through and through. One learns swimming in water. You must be alive to your mundane obligations and try to meet with the challenge as best you can and leave the rest to Him. If you will keep the target of your spiritual progress in the forefront, the pinching effect of worldly pains will be lost with the grace of the Master. An elegant horseman keeps both of his feet well fixed in the stirrups. If you will run Godward, all else will follow of its own accord. A disciplined life is an asset. Make it a principle to be always happy, cheerful, and grateful. Prayer and gratitude are akin. There is much to be grateful for. If we only just count the manifold blessings granted to us by the Master power. A healthy physical body, strong enough to attend to mundane obligations, and a sound mind purified by meditations in the holy Nam are perhaps the superb blessings. Always radiate loving compassion for others, which will invoke divine grace and your heart will be purified. I would reiterate that our days are numbered, and before the great final change, viz. Death, comes, the initiates should develop rising above body consciousness by attuning their souls with the Holy Nam. If you will take one step, he will come down hundreds of steps to greet you. Each and every moment spent in holy meditation stands to your spiritual credit. With these few words, I conclude and send you all my love and best wishes for your spiritual progress. Thank you, dear ones. Yours affectionately, Kirpal Singh. Okay, that concludes that letter, The Way of Love. And I'm picking up in The Night is a Jungle with Chapter 10, Change Your Habits Now. Satsang is purely meant to discuss and explain the subject of contacting the Nam power. It is not a place where the social and political matters are taken up. It is a place of righteousness, and we should regard and respect it as such. When we visit any religious temple, do we not enter with respectful humility? Where our attitude is not so, we surely expect to gain little from our attendance there. To talk of worldly affairs in sacred places is considered to be a sacrilege. So, your purpose in coming to satsang is to imbibe the love of God, to sit in his sweet remembrance, to unite with him. All things past and future, all irrelevant matters, can be dealt with in your own place of residence. Come, but come with the very best of intentions. Bring the remembrance of the Lord with you, and take it with you when you leave. Do not listen to others' conversation, and do not talk to anyone unless it be about the truth. You will thereby gain full benefit from satsang. Otherwise, the years will pass by without any real advancement. Swamiji Maharaj tells us, many days of attendance at satsang have passed. Now, give up your old habits. So much time has been spent at satsang without gaining the benefit. Only by having full attention focused will you receive. If the words enter through one ear and leave from the other, nothing will be retained. Furthermore, if you live up to what you hear, that will be a great achievement. Otherwise, your purpose in joining the satsang will have failed. Swamiji says, O man, let anybody attend the satsang in the accurate way from today. How to attend satsang? When you leave home for satsang, forget all worldly matters and go in sweet remembrance of the Master. And so long as you attend the satsang, you should not think of anything else except Master and God. Kabir says, if your body is in the Master's company, but your mind is elsewhere, how can you color an unbleached cloth? Even though you may not understand all that is said, yet if you sit with full attention, you will profit by it. If your thoughts are somewhere else, not only will you lose, but other people will also be affected by the impure atmosphere you are creating. For thoughts are living and possess great power. Regard the satsang as a place of purity. Do not talk or think of anything but God, and whosoever attends will be blessed by the uplifting atmosphere. We do not go to satsang to meet our friends or to socialize. The Master unites us in a true relationship which can never be broken. This relationship is with God himself, who is manifested in the human form. It is such a relationship that can never be sundered, even after death, not to speak of during life. But we, with our poor understanding, assert ourselves with pride, ego, and low habits, desiring to be recognized. Consequently, we succeed only in heaping more misery upon our heads. What is the use of attending satsang for so long if you're not going to change the old unwanted habits? Dry land can become green again by giving it water, but of what use is land that is watered yet remains dead? Your attendance has become a mere routine. You cannot get salvation by rote. You will not get it. You will not get it. Try to understand what the spiritual path means and then live up to it. And the more it seeps into your heart, the happier you will be. Let the words of the Guru abide in your heart, and you abide in him. This is the only way, the only hope. If you do not obey him, what can be done? For so many years I have pleaded with you. That which you receive here, you will not find anywhere else. But with all that you receive, yet you continue in your old ways of enmity, avarice, jealousy, etc. You do not keep your spiritual diaries. Whose fault is it that you are not progressing? Stop being childish and grow up. Those who do not wish to listen and obey should not enter upon this venture of the spiritual path. I'm not saying any new thing. We're not all saints. We've come here to become that. And you will become that if you fully understand and then live up to the teachings. Everyone makes mistakes. I remember I went on leave from my office once and on returning found that two clerks had been dismissed. When I took their case to the controller for appeal, he began to question the merit of it. But I asked him, "Is there any person without faults? You will not find anyone who's not done something wrong, and the punishment for mistakes should not be dismissal, for not only the man will suffer, but his wife and children also." They were both reinstated in service. If these teachings are no new thing, then try to fully understand them now and take them into your lives. If we could learn to obey and keep the diary, we would become gods and goddesses. Do not discuss or wrangle intellectually over the subject, but think carefully. Have you not come here to keep the company of the truth? Then why keep the company of others? This disease has ever been in evidence and will continue, but the masters come to prescribe the cure by making us realize the truth. In Swamiji's Shabd, he laments over that situation. Many days of attendance at satsang have passed. Now give up your old habits. Oh man, it is the time now to discard your old disreputable habits and adopt new ones. Habits are formed by repeatedly doing the same things. So we should first unravel all bad actions, lies, hypocrisy, cheating, criticism of others, enmity, avarice, malice, backbiting, and various others. If you do not intend to change these ways, what is the use of attending satsang? Your steps are forward, but your mind is retrogressing. Satsang is the means of making us into something beautiful, but not by merely repeating God's name. Change your habits now into good ones, for habit turns into nature with time. Cast away all negative thoughts and instill positive ones in their place. If a person does wrong, forgive him, and he in turn should forgive your misdeeds. In the Quran it is written, "Even God has no thought for him who has no inclination to change." How can we expect other people to show excellent examples? If we ourselves would change, the whole world would change with us. It is a message for all. One of the worst habits is that of criticizing others. All virtues exercised in righteous living are good, but that of ahimsa paramo dharam, which is nonviolence of thought, is the highest. It can become a daily habit, for it lies inherent within us all. And although the other thoughts are there, yet consciously or unconsciously, it is working and will rise to the surface one day. That is why you're told frequently in satsang that the past is past, forgive and forget, and do not make a foundation of bad thoughts, or there will undoubtedly be reactions. You will be the loser, for again, you will revolve on the cycle of births and deaths. So with love, the masters encourage their children to change their habits while there is still time. With great compassion for humanity, Swamiji is telling us, for how long will you try to deceive your guru? Now, recognize what he is. Hiding the facts, you think, what does the guru know? What we want to do is correct. You get hold of an idea and place it above all else, considering everyone else to be wrong, even if your guru tells you something different. How long will you keep this up? Make no mistake, he watches our every action, for the guru power is residing within our very being. But we foolishly think that he is not present to see us, so we can do anything and he will not know. He entreats us to try and realize what a guru is. The guru is not the physical form. He is not the human pole, but is the all omnipotent power of God, which is manifested therein. It is accepted that God is everywhere and sees everything. Give full attention to learn what the guru is and then come to know it. He has love for everyone, for his own, for all others, even for those who are against him. His wish is to do good to all. And even though a knife were put to his neck, he would not think ill of the wrongdoers. He is different and expresses this wealth of love and forgiveness because of the guru power in him. So he says we should stop all this deceit. If one thinks of one's guru as a guru, then obey him. After all, he does not give bad advice. Sometimes it is possible that two idiots can be bound together in love, breaking the chains of the creeds that are binding them. Whereas intellectual people would snap the silken threads of love without hesitation. Gurumukh loses and lets the world win. He who loses out of love and humility, in actual fact, wins the day, for he has saved what he has stored. Otherwise, in the fire of anger, his precious store will be consumed to ashes. If there is no anger in a person, not even a wisp of smoke will be seen. Try to recognize your guru, for satsang is concerned with the guru, not with a mere human being. When you go to satsang, go in his remembrance, for he is God in human form. Be present there in his remembrance, and when you leave, take that remembrance with you. We should exploit those qualities which will assist us to join back to God and discard all traits which are liable to lead you away from him. It is not difficult to realize the Lord, but it is most difficult to become a man, a true human being. 100 times and more, we bow our heads and say, yes, yes, I will do it. But in action, we do just as we please. This indicates that, as yet, we do not truly understand the spiritual path. If you have not, as yet, changed your old habits, then do so at once. Make a start now. to have bad thoughts for others, to take sides in enmity like a lawyer criticizing the lives of your fellow beings, would you not expect the fire to flare up within you? The guru sees all events with a different eye, for every man sees from his own level. If you have accepted someone as being superior to you, then obey him. A teacher who has not reached the higher level can easily be the cause of further downfall. Those from higher levels always strive to reunite all humanity. You came to the satsang to realize the truth, to be free from your miseries. To fulfill this, whatever you learn must be adopted and reflected in your homes and daily living, that peace and happiness may blossom forth in you and in those who surround you. The satsang is a place of special purity, and even your thoughts should be pure as long as you are here. No other thought save that of the Lord should enter your head, and whatever advice you hear, live up to it. If you obey, without exception, you will change for the better. If not, you will suffer the consequences. Guru is not just a man, and whoever looks upon him from that angle of vision is gravely mistaken. Kabir says, "He who considers the guru a mere man will retrogress in the lower species birth after birth. The God in him is the guru, although we respect his physical form because he is manifesting therein. Whatever he tells us, whether it appears to be correct or not, should be of the utmost importance and interest to us. Otherwise, and with emphasis I repeat, that life will become complicated and nothing but misery will result. You can say that it is actually preparing the way for unhappiness. We attend satsang to increase our joy, for those around us too, and when the soul is reunited with God, it will reflect all his qualities. God in the Guru is all compassion, and without disclosing our sins, he washes us clean, free from undesirable impurities. When the child becomes dirty with filth, the mother does not throw him away, but washes him with loving attention and draws him close to her breast. The soul of man is very dear and precious. So we loathe the sin, but rather love the sinner. If all men refrained from wrongdoing, there would be peace and happiness everywhere. If your aim is to become masters, you will succeed only when you hear and then become that. Do not think of the guru as man. He is the life of the Satpurush, the true form. The question, who is a guru, is not a new one. It has ever been asked through the ages. When it was put to Guru Nanak, he said, "Shabad is the guru and the Surat is the disciple." The ever-existent God, or his expression, the Shabd, is the guru, and the attention is the disciple. When Kabir was asked the same question, he said, "My guru is above the Gagan, which is heaven, and the disciple is in the body." When our attention gets connected with him, our coming and going is finished. The greatest being ever born, he, you should know, is my guru. He is the light itself at whichever pole he is manifested, and only he can give the light to others. By this, the seeker can recognize the criterion in the true guru. Christ said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." At whichever pole this wealth is found, you can be sure there is something else there too, worthy of your obedience. I think I'm going to stop there because the next paragraph is pretty long. I finished on page 233. I'm in The Night of the Jungle, chapter 10. And before that, I read a letter called The Way of Love, which was written by Master May 4th, 1965, a letter to an initiated couple. And it's on the Ruhani Satsang USA website. Thank you, Master. Thank you.
And thank you, Sheila, for reading for us. There were 49 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
The world is not our home, nor this body which we are living in. Our true home is the house of our Father.